morning, everybody. Happy Easter. Nice to see you all. He is risen. You are to reply, if you may. He is risen indeed. So are you ready? Here we go. He is risen. Well done. He purifies us from all sin if we have faith in him. So that's the subject I'm going to look at today. Some of you might have thought Leviticus 11 to 15 for Easter. But anyway, that's where we're going. 11 to 15, in fact, Leviticus is one of the best Easter passages in the Old Testament. So let's pray and then we'll have a look at it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Both Old Testament and New Testament is the Bible. And we pray that you will help us to understand your word more clearly, and it will be helpful to where we are in life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year at our house, the extended family come around and we have an Easter egg hunt. And that's going to happen in a few hours, mid-afternoon. That's what we do. Now, I would like to be involved, but it's only for those who are 18 and under, so I miss out. But my job as an adult, one of the adults, is to take the eggs and hide the eggs and try not to eat any, which is very hard to do because I like chocolate and I feel like I could sneak a few or two, but yeah, that's my job, can't eat any. But every year, when we hide, I am reminded around the house and in the house what needs to be cleaned, such as the top of door frames or picture frames where we might hide the eggs, or skirting boards, or under the couch, or under the table. Or I wonder what the extended family think of the dust in these hard-to-reach places, or outside, spider webs, or chocolate stains from last year's Easter egg hunt. I wonder what the extended family think of the dust. Now, I'm all right at cleaning the big areas around the house. That's one of my jobs, to clean the big areas around the house, like the mopping and the vacuuming. But it's the nooks and crannies, you know, the hard-to-reach areas in the house that I need help. I'm not so good at it. So much of life is like that. Inside the house needs cleaning. The red, yellow bins outside the house need cleaning. Walk past the Cook's River needs cleaning. Drive on it. Well, you might not drive it, but, you know, sit on the bus, look around, needs cleaning. So much of creation needs cleaning up. And then the one that really counts, people. People. Watch the news. We're the worst. Our sins, our list of sins are endless. People can be so self-centered. We're like a house or a unit. Drive past, and we're fine on the outside, but the inside can be an ethical disaster, can be filled with sin. So who's going to clean us up? Who's going to look beneath the surface? Who's going to reach to the nooks and crannies of the soul? Every Easter, that's the sort of questions we should be asking. Who's going to do it? Who's going to help people? Now, often in our society, the answer is education. Now, education is important. If you have a chance to get a good education, go for it. Okay? Very, very important. Make the most of it. Give thanks to God. Education is important. But it is not the solution to the problem of sin, of rejecting God, of running life our own way, of the problem, the nooks and crannies of the soul. It is not the solution. You know, many of the world's problems are caused by those, by the most educated people. Others might say self-help is the solution to the problem of the mess that people are in. Now, again, self-help, helping yourself, taking responsibility for your situation, the Christian view, it's important, very important. You know, sin, turning away from God, taking responsibility for your sin. So it's important, but it's not the solution to cleaning people up. Other people might say, well, what about religious do's and don'ts? The problem with just obeying laws and the religious do's and don'ts is if you do, you end up proud. I'm better than you, because I did. And if you don't, you end up despaired. Why can't I be a good person? Happens all the time. Religious do's and don'ts are not the solution to cleaning us up. That was the sort of pressure that people were under in Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, it was about Easter time, and they were wondering, who's going to clean us up? Who's going to purify us? In fact, the word clean or unclean is mentioned 57 times in the book of Leviticus. It dwarfs any other book in the Bible. So it's a real issue. In fact, it's mentioned 57 times, and I think, looking it up, the second book that mentions the word clean or unclean or cleanse next is the book of Numbers, which is the next book. The book of Numbers, it only mentions it 17 times. And so the issue of clean is a really big issue in the book of Leviticus. The people cared about how to be clean, how to be right with God. But here's the issue for us. Leviticus deals with the outside of humanity, the outside of man, the externals. And we read about it. Not the inside. And when we hear about it, when we read Leviticus, we think, well, that's just a bit weird, isn't it? And so let me just run through basically what we read. We read a little bit of Leviticus 11:15 to try and give you a flavour of what's going on. But basically, and pay attention to the outside, you know, the outside, not the heart, not the internals, but the outside. So Leviticus 11 was all about the food laws. 12 was all about childbirth and women's monthly periods. Chapter 13 to 14 is all about skin diseases and house mildew. See the outside? And chapter 15 were about other bodily fluids. Phrases such as chapter 11, if anyone touches a dead animal, he or she will be unclean. And then in chapter 12, if any woman gives birth, she will be unclean for 7 days, and it goes on from there. And then chapter 13 to 14, skin diseases. If any man has, I tried to pick the really weird ones, so you would. If any man has a reddish white sore on his bald head, unclean, okay. And then 15, any man with an unusual bodily discharge, unclean. So, how do we make sense of all of this? When Jesus came to deal with the heart, we hear about it all the time in church. Jesus came to deal with the internals, not the externals. What's going on inside, not necessarily what's going on outside. So how do we make sense of Leviticus? Firstly, we've got to remember these are ancient times. This is about 3,500 years ago. And these laws were going to make the people of Israel distinct from the other nations around. Because the other nations around who rejected God, remember, ancient civilization, were in many ways ruthless and barbaric. And God works through, and God wanted his people to stand out separate, to be set apart from these people, to be holy, set apart, not like the other nations. And so that's a really big idea in the Old Testament, okay? That's the main idea that really stands out. But I also think that, and the big picture in the Bible, is God works through history. And at that time, 3,500 years ago, if a woman gave childbirth, or if you had certain skin diseases, and you were poor and not so well protected, a lot of these nations around about, not God's people Israel, a lot of these nations round about could be very ruthless, barbaric, sacrificial of people, and especially if you're poor, and people could really be hurt and damaged and all those sort of things. God comes in and declares someone as unclean, could be a form of protection to stop ancient civilization from taking advantage of people in a broken situation. So we've got to be careful not to just presume our culture is so superior we wouldn't treat people. God works through history with people, and this unclean and even cleaning the house and various other things was a way of protecting the people, or keeping the people safe at that time in history. We've got to be careful that we don't say something like and it can happen where, you know, why could God say something like in 3,500 years, in Royal Randwick Women and Children's Hospital, this is what they did, guys. So how about you do that? You know, that, you know, if we made a movie about that, we would probably do something like that. But God doesn't do that. He works through history, and at that time, life was dangerous. People needed protection. He was showing them how to be different to the surrounding barbaric nations, and he was offering protection, dealing with skin diseases and blood and discharges that the people had no idea about. Okay, so that helps us, helps me, and hopefully helps you as well, make sense of the external, internal, so God. But the other thing I want to show you to try and make it even more clear is to use an analogy of a pedestal fan. House analogy, let's go to the fan, pedestal fan. And this is going to help us. It doesn't make sense now, but it will in a second. Okay, so in my house recently, there's a fan in the basement of the house where my office is. There's a fan there, and it stopped working. The reason it stopped working, there were four stages, is because it was clogged up with dust. And so what did I do? I pulled it apart and cleaned it. And now it's humming. It's restored. But if you were to walk into my basement at stage three, you see, 1, 2, 3, 4, if you were to walk in, you would say, oh, what a disaster. There's dust everywhere. There's parts everywhere. It's still plugged in. What are you doing, kid? Leviticus can feel a little bit like that. In the Bible, here's how it works. The first stage, I'm cutting the story down, try and make it as simple and as straightforward as possible. The first stage, God created the heavens and the earth, but then humanity, people, the reason why we're unclean internally is because we sinned. Humanity broke down. But then God began to pull it apart. to clean it up with the law of Moses. And we read about the law of Moses in Leviticus 3,500 years ago. God is beginning the process. And then eventually we move to stage four. All God's promises and cleanliness and everything is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Now, if you were to go to Leviticus, if you were to read Leviticus and you got stuck on stage three, then obviously, like me, we go, that's a disaster. What's going on here? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. But then we remind ourselves that we are moving from stage three to stage four. Jesus. And so verses in the New Testament such as a Jew, Romans 2. Paul was writing to Jews in Rome who were trying to figure out what it meant to be God's people. Okay, and so he says a Jew, but what he basically means here when he says a Jew is God's people. Who are God's people? Jews and Gentiles, ultimately. A Jew is one inwardly, Jesus. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, not of the flesh, outwardly, like you did in Leviticus, elsewhere in Leviticus, but one of the... elsewhere in the Old Testament, but one of inwardly, inside, by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. So you can see how today we move to stage four, because Jesus is the answer to the question. Good Friday. Jesus, stage four, all God's promises fulfilled, dealing with the inside, dealing with the internal. Jesus on the cross paid the penalty for our sin, for running life our own way, for doing our own thing. Jesus paid the penalty. And then Easter Sunday, today, Jesus is risen, risen indeed. He cleans us up thoroughly. Within, forgives our sin. We have new life, eternal. Jesus is the answer to the question. And so, Easter time, we look at the, we think about Easter. We think, well, let's be honest. Society, humanity is messed up, all over the place. Watch the news. People are messed up. We need cleaning up. We don't need cleaning up externally. Some of us look really good on the outside. Especially you guys look really good on the outside. But what we need is someone to deal with the heart. Jesus, the risen Saviour, stage four. God's plan in the end. He deals with what counts the most. And so we say, what does that mean now? Okay, sure. But what does that mean now? It means now that we are God's. The Christian moves into God's house, His holy house. We move in. We have been cleaned up. We've been accepted by God. We are totally accepted, totally loved. It's not because of anything we've done or how we look or anything like that. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus that we are right with God. We are in His house. In Hebrews chapter verse 6, it said those very words. We are God's house, those who believe in Jesus. There's no other way to be in God's house. No good looks, no amount of money, no amount of wealth, those who look really happy and religious all the time. That's not how we get. Jesus, He's the only way into God's house. Him and Him alone. Not a little bit of Him and a little bit of us, but Him alone. He is the only way. That is how we get into the Holy Land. That is how when God looks at us, the deepest on the heart, on the nooks and crannies in the soul, He said, you have the righteousness of Jesus. You have Jesus on your heart You are right. You're in my house. You are secure. You are safe. You are there forever and ever. Amen. Okay? That's what happens. But here's the problem, I think. Many of you have heard this, but my question to you is, do you care? Do you care? A lot of people in Sydney have heard this, but do they care? Do you care? I would submit to you that you should care. Because God is holy. There is a God. He is holy. We are fallen. Look around the world. Life is messed up inside. We need a saviour to clean us up. So I submit to you, a lot of you guys are young, you've heard this before, but make sure you care, because it really, really matters. This Easter. Okay, and the second thing is, now we are in God's holy house, thanks be to Jesus. God, in verse 4 in Hebrews, it says, Jesus, he's the builder. In other words, he sets out and works on us. And so, to keep the house analogy going, spray and wipe, Jesus sprays and wipes away our... This is now, we're in God's house, okay? So what happens now, okay? Jesus builds us up. He through the power of the Holy Spirit, he sets at work on us. Basically, what he does now as a Christian is he wipes away all the sinful characteristics in our life and replaces them with godly characteristics. That's what he does over the years, okay? He wipes away the sinful characteristics and replaces it with godly characteristics, so we become more like Jesus. Or in other words, he wipes away all that prevents us from having a meaningful relationship with God. That's what he does while we're in the house now. That's what he does. Have you ever been through a hard time? Many of you are going through a hard time right now. Many of you have gone through a hard time recently. As a believer, that is the process of spraying and wiping. God uses the believer's hard times to take things away that would prevent you from having a meaningful relationship with God. If God kept you on the mountain all the time, then eventually idols or things would get in the way and you would lose that meaningful relationship with God. That's why God allows believers to go through hard times, even though we don't like it. I don't like it. But that's what happens. In order that we thrive as a Christian. And thriving as a Christian is Jesus is center. You know, in a few hours, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt at our house, about mid-afternoon, thereabouts. Part of me wants to be worried about just maybe a couple of members in the house, in the extended family, might be thinking, gee, all these little areas, hard to reach areas, they're so dusty and dirty. But then these sort of passages remind me, yeah, it's important to clean your house, but ultimately there is something that counts much more. What's going on inside in people? That's the cleaning we should all be worried about at Easter time, not how dusty the house is, because that's what matters the most. And Jesus is the one. Pure Easter, he cleans us up. He is our hope. And then he sets to work on us in as life goes on. Cleaning the house is important, but Jesus is greater. He is better than the law of Moses. Much better builder, much better everything. Jesus is greater. That's what matters the most. His cleaning is what matters the most. So let's pray, and then we'll sing.